Okay, let's go back to Joshua. I say back. We were in Mark this morning. I want to follow up Mark 10. Speaking of Jesus completing the Father's plan, his eternal plan, it was impossible that he would fail in spite of all the obstacles. And men look at the ministry of Jesus, as I mentioned, Jesus Christ Superstar does, very often in the world through the eyes of men. If something happened to Jesus, men had to do it to him. He didn't mean for it to happen. They took him unawares. They found him and arrested him. And like it is today, when you're arrested, usually it's not your will that you be arrested. It's not your will that you be punished. And yet in the place of Christ, it's exactly what it is. It was the Father's plan from eternity to do just exactly what happened. And so I want to look at a similar thing in Joshua chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Let's pray. Lord, we err greatly when we do not consider your basic nature when we think of the things of redemption. For Lord, it is true, no man can accomplish it. And every man who tries to accomplish redemption by any work of his own these days is just an abject failure. And it cannot be. But Lord, when you have said you will do this and you will do that, and as impossible as it is certain. And you do it. It doesn't, Lord, take away from the fact that you did it courageously, that you faced foes, that you faced pain, rejection, shame, great disrespect, slander, blasphemy. Lord, you endured all of that. It did hurt. It was hard. You did face it as a courageous warrior. You did step straight into the enemy's arena. You did not shrink back from Jerusalem and the cross and the suffering. But Lord, the certainty of it is because of you, in spite of all the opposition and all the difficulties that were placed before you to do so. It was the devil who said, "Don't do it," at the very beginning. And Lord, you have rejected all of that, and you have carried out the Father's plan. Lord Jesus, we worship you that you are enthroned in heaven at the Father's right hand. And we pray, Lord, that we would again see that great power and purpose here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, by the way, this will not work in most things, what we just read. If you've got a door that's jammed and you just can't get it open, this won't do anything about it. I've heard people use it and apply it, and I've heard them tell other people. And somebody in our church in North Carolina, a lady told her, you just go, you want a house, you want whatever you want property, you just go there and you march around just like they did here, and it's yours. And, of course, that's crazy, loony stuff. But so this is not something that in the mechanics of it is ever going to work. What is here is an application of the promises of God. And when God says he wants to do something, wants to accomplish something, wants to give you something, wants to whatever, this This shows he accomplishes it without the help of man. And this part of the redemption of Israel is something of a symbol for us. For what did the Lord say to Israel that he would lead them into the promised land? A land that flows with milk and honey. It was heaven on earth. And they would have a nation. They would walk right into it. Everything would already be there, already made. All the houses built. All the crops in the field. Produce in the house. There was food available. And it would put forth milk and honey. It was a great land. And so 40 years before, they started to enter it. And you remember, it did not go well. Back in Numbers 13, they viewed this in the way that men view things naturally. That when they spied out the land, they deduced that the thing that God said he wanted to do was impossible to do. The tribes were sent, and verse 25 of Numbers 13 says that they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So they had proof of the desirability of the land. They'd come out of Egypt. A lot of things happened. You got the book of Exodus, book of Leviticus. The various things laid out. The law was given. Things were in preparation. And so then they spied the land out. That's the next thing. And they were to go in there. So when they looked it over, they saw, yes, this is great. And if you're like most people, when you see something great and it's in the will of God for you, well, then that's when you want it. So they bring the report back, bring the fruit back, show the proof of it. Everyone sees it. Verse 28. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." And this did not produce in the people boldness and courage. For in verse 30, Caleb quiets the people. That means they had become disquieted. And they were disquieted just from what was said. I guess in their minds, the only way they could take the land is if the spies went in there and found that everyone had just skedaddled, taken off, run out into the ocean, gone to Egypt, gone to Assyria, gone to wherever, gotten out of the way. And then the spies would come back and say, "Oh, we found all these things in place. Nobody's there. All we got to do is walk in there." And then the people would have cheered. But instead, "Oh, there are people living there. Are there people living there? Are you kidding me? Who knew?" And so they deduced from that that it was suicide. And so Caleb quiets the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Now Caleb is a man of faith. He was confident. Joshua the same. And he said, just like I said, when you want something in the will of God, now's the time. He said, "Let's do it now. Let's do it right away. We've been up there 40 days. We've seen it." Caleb and Joshua fell in love with the whole idea of going up there. And the other people, the other spies, they fell out of any desire to go there because it was not easy. There was no courage. Our Lord showed courage. These people have none, except for Joshua and Caleb. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Well, there you go. We can't do it. They're stronger than we are. And the whole point of the thing that they've been told and the promise that has been made, it's all the way back with Abraham, is this land is going to be yours, this land I'm giving to you. And they left it and went down to Egypt, and then they, you know, lived in Egypt for some time and going back, and now they're going to take the promised land. And that's been forever part of the promise of God. It's not a new thing. But here, when they get a chance to do it, they say, well, no, we can't do it because of the people. And we're just completely in the area of what people can do. And if God had not said anything, then, of course, you would have to say that they were wise. We can't just up on our own and run over there in the land of Canaan and take it over. That's what kind of presumption is that? But there was no presumption here. It was all laid out to them. This was their land. This is what God wanted to give them. He's going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. This whole thing was of the Lord. And now it's just a matter of trusting the Lord and going on. And Caleb and Joshua were willing to do that. But the men who went with Caleb, we're not able to do it. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And you see that last part there, verse 32 and 33, is once your faith fails, as the 10 spies' faith failed, whatever they had of it, then you want to make it sound even more logical and wise to follow their cowardly course. So they say, listen, we walked into that land, yeah, okay, I'll give you that it's got some nice things there. But, you know, we were just walking down a road and the ground just opened up and just almost swallowed us whole. And we saw big creatures there, and everybody there is 15 feet tall. And we walked under a tree and it squirted some kind of sour juice all over us. And then bees came to the juice and stung us. You see, they just keep going with it. Because once they shrink back from the will of God, then they multiply the dangers. And they use symbolism, saying that, you know, we're grasshoppers and they're giants. And we cannot do this. And chapter 14, verse 1 says, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. It's a powerful thing, negative reporting. It's a lot easier to get people down than to pick people up, it seems. And when you hear something bad, oh, they swallow the whole thing. And Caleb said, oh, we can do this. They didn't listen. When they heard that report, and the astounding thing really is, the congregation that size that had gone through the Red Sea, by the way, and had gone through the 10 plagues of Egypt, where they were spared, but the Egyptians were wiped out. And when they crossed through the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army was wiped out. And they went across on the other side and they sang a song of victory. But they're so self-centered that they cannot be trusting in God. And so the whole congregation
there's not even, except for Joshua and Caleb, there's not even a distinction made when the Lord sentences them to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It was just everybody. Because they all were without faith. Except for Joshua and Caleb. And, you know, Moses. And Moses didn't enter for another reason. Verse 2 of chapter 14 says, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And you see, this is what I guess we would say is your mind getting away from you. Because once they rejected, the spies rejected the will of God and painted an ugly picture of the land, no one rose above their fears to say, let's go in. There's no voices like that recorded. And then everything in their minds becomes the absolute worst that it could be. And suddenly they're mad at Moses and Aaron. What did Moses and Aaron do? Now they're mad at them. And they're mad at the Lord. Verse 3, why did the Lord bring us out here to fall by the sword? Now they're given a bad report of the Lord. Once the bad report of the land was given, then the bad report about the leaders was given, and a bad report about the Lord was given. Because the Lord's now doing something in their minds was going to happen. Their wives and children were going to become victims. And they're going to be killed by the sword. And it'd be better for us to stay in Egypt. So they said, verse 4, to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Yeah, the Egyptians will welcome you right back. You just wiped out, you know, 10 plagues. You just wiped out a bunch of them. All their firstborn were killed. Pharaoh and his army was destroyed. Yeah, let's just go back there. You set somebody's house on fire after having dinner at their house, and you set the house on fire, and you get lost on the way home. So let's just go back to our friends that we just left. They're not going to receive you well. And in their minds, let's go back to the way it was. That's when Moses and Aaron, verse 5, fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And that's the way of faith and courage, because they're dependent upon the Lord. And all the congregation said, to stone them with stones. Well, of course. The two brave spies, the ones who were upbeat, believing in God and trusting in the Lord and saying, we can do this, let's stone them for sure. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel, and the Lord was not happy. Verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And that's not what happened. But you see the anger of the Lord. It all started with 10 spies who were soon to die. And what they feared was, oh, we can't go in there, we're going to be killed. And they were killed right away. And they died by the plague, we're told in verse 27 of this chapter 14. And so what they feared, they received. And so all of this then happened, these 40 years in the wilderness. All of that was unnecessary. And back to Joshua 6. That was all unnecessary. And the Lord did not disinherit the nation, but those he considered to be responsible from above the age of 20, when he considered that these should have been leaders, these should have been full of faith, they should have said, yeah, let's go. And they didn't. It's those who would die in the wilderness. And the rest would remain. And so when we get to Joshua, we've got those that remain. All of them who were too afraid to go into the promised land, they didn't get to go. And they were killed in the wilderness, or they died during the 40 years. So Israel crossed the Jordan River, and now here they are before Jericho, and Jericho knows they're coming. And Jericho is doing exactly what cities did in that time. Cities had walls, and the walls were there for security. Without those walls, at any time, some marauding group of men would come and attack the city and sack the city, take the women, take the goods, take the children, sell some into slavery, on and on. You know, it's catastrophe. But when you got the walls up around a city, when a city had the walls, and you'll note that from before, if you remember, Rahab lived in the wall, in the wall of the city. It was a thick wall. It was a place you could abide. So these were massive walls. They weren't little things like, we'd put up in an afternoon with a couple of two-by-fours and some drywall. This was a very strong and high and firm, solid wall. Had gates. And so once those cities are shut up, no army could quickly get in. The siege, which was the way the Romans would attack cities in later times, still recognizing the fact that a wall around a city, you could not just break down. They would build siege engines, and they would bang on the gates, and it'd take some time to get in, or they would just lay siege to it and starve all the people out, and it might take a year and a half or two. Just the city would just be starved. And that just shows, it's not like today where, you know, somebody get in a helicopter and just fly right over the thing. This is that time. It's 2D warfare, not 3D warfare. And so you either go through the wall or you don't get in. And the walls, if they shut it down, it's shut down. Nobody goes out, nobody goes in. They wait it out. Verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand." Now, that wouldn't seem obvious to me. But they were afraid. They cowered. Verse 3, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around all the city once. Then you shall do 6 days. And then we're told the seventh day they would do it 7 times. And then at that time, when they blast on the horn, everybody's going to shout and the wall's going to fall down flat. And that's what we're going to do with the wall. Like I say, it took the Romans, you know, months and months and months to do that. And that's just in one section. But this is what's going to happen. So this is what they did. Verse 6, Joshua called the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, let 7 priests... bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. So they just marched around and blew some trumpets as they marched. Now Joshua would command the people, verse 10, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. then you shall shout. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Now, a lot of things come to my mind here. The people in the city would have a certain opinion about this. Because they would look out, see just marching people, not saying a word, blowing some trumpets, a little bit of music there, or at least clarion calls with a trumpet, and in formation, just a ritual of marching around the city. It's never been done. They don't have any historical reference to place to it. And they look out, and can you imagine what they were talking about in the city? There would be some confusion and befuddlement, but I'm guessing, very likely, even on the first day, the city was growing more confident because they were afraid. And they marched around and found no entry place, and they did it six times. And by the sixth day, I mean, look out, they're going around again, they're not going to find a way in, so that's it. And it's got to be more confident, more disdain. Our city is locked up tight. I don't know what they're doing. They're crazy people out there. Well, think about Israel. Israel goes back to the camp. They march around. They sit down. What are they thinking? Israel is Israel. Some are saying, what are we doing? What is this? I don't want to get killed, and I understand there's walls up, but what good is this? If the walls are up, why are we marching around this? So, you probably in heaven will find out some background information we don't have here about all that was being talked about. Verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. They marched around the city seven times. So people in the city, now they get a little bit of a different taste of this day. What were they doing on the first 6 days? We have no idea, but now look at them, they're doing it more than they did. It didn't work for 6 days, and now they're doing it more. It's like a government program. It didn't work, so let's do more of it. So they march around now 7 days, and seventh day it's seven times. In verse 16, the seventh time it was so, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble. Of course, they didn't obey that. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come to the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire, only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Not to this day, of course, but to that day when it was written. She was still a presence. And Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Now, can you imagine the way of unbelief? How are we going to take this city? Well, we're going to march around it 6 days, one time a day. We're going to march around it 7 times on the seventh day. That's an awful lot of marching. Soldiers will tell you one of the hardest things they ever do is march. They're going to march, 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 and then shout, and down it comes. And so it was. If you would put that up against a brain trust, military minds, it's not going to work. That was the problem with the 10 spies and the original spying out of the land. They had no mind of God. They had no trust in the Lord. They did not behold the Lord. People looked at Jesus and they missed it. And one thing is said just before this is the key. Look back at chapter 5, Joshua. Verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he sees a man with a sword drawn. So he says, "No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" This is what we call a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, a theophany. It's Jesus showing up as the one who reveals the Godhead, same with Abraham in his day. And he shows up as the commander of the army of the Lord. "I'm not for you or them, I'm for the Lord." And so Joshua worships and says, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And so that is in our minds when we think about what has the Lord said he's going to do. Because when the Lord said he's going to do something, save the righteous, judge the wicked, make the world peaceful one day, rule the world in his kingdom here, whatever he said he's going to do, there's people that are just too hard to say. People whose hearts are too hard. Their ears are too dull. They will not listen to us. These are the ones that God still will save if it is his desire to do so. Because it's nothing too hard, and with his sword drawn, he conquers these enemies or pierces the hearts of sinners and brings them to himself. And nothing shall be impossible with God. And that's our mindset we have to carry in with us this week. If you look at the land of Canaan that we're going into when we live this week, there's too many giants in the land. And by Friday, probably before, we're living in Grasshopperville. And they're all giants. But if we take this attitude and see the commander of the armies of the Lord of hosts, that makes for a whole different attitude and a different week for us. The Lord can do whatever he wants. And that's what he's going to do this week. Let's all stand.